En route by Jory Karl Heismans. Translated by Charles Kegan Paul. Translator's note. It is seldom fair to an author, nor does it raise the value of literature, to imagine too readily that a writer is himself depicted in his works. We rob Sir Walter Scott of much of his creative power if we assert that in Redgauntlet are exact portraits of himself and his father. Nor is it just criticism to declare that Shakespeare left a likeness of himself in Hamlet. No one can, of course, create any fictitious character unless he have in himself undeveloped possibilities, some of which he sketches in his books, and at times he may have prophesied his own future course in the events under which he has brought the characters in his narrative. It would be intrusive and impertinent to declare that Monsieur Heismans has written an analysis of himself, or a full description of his own conversion under the name of Durtal, because, though it is quite needless for the understanding of En route, Durtal is also the hero of a former book, Là-bas, wherein experience is made of Satanism, black masses, and other forms of detestable impiety, known in France, and at this moment under investigation in the law courts, but so far as we are aware, unknown in England. In France, as a rule, the population is Catholic. French Protestants, who answer very much to our Unitarians, are confined for the most part to certain centres, form isolated knots in other places. They do not in any sense leaven the people. Hence, when a Frenchman loses faith, he has not, as in England, a Protestant sect handy, in joining which he may believe as much or as little as he please, but in which morals at least are upheld. He plunges only too often into sinful excesses, now and then into some complicated and enormous crime, becoming actively hostile to the dominant religion of his country. Since it meets him at every turn, he cannot be indifferent to, nor ignore it. He is aided in his revolt not by religious sects, bulwarks at least against the denial of God, but by societies of freethinkers, solidaires, Freemasons, etc., bound to an active warfare with the Church, and sworn to keep the priest away from their families, so far as in them lies, especially at the hour of birth by refusing baptism, in the hour of death by withholding the last sacraments, and after death by insisting on civil funerals. In the many episcopal approvals bestowed on an admirable little French book setting forth devotions, a guild, and a cloistered community in aid of the dying, much is said of the work of Freemasons. We are probably safe in saying that English Freemasons are only members of a convivial society who, knowing nothing of the splendour of church vestments, banners, and furniture, or of confraternities in which even the laity may share, have adopted their own ornate badges and ritual. Freemasons in England might well be let alone by the Church, and would do no harm, were it not that it is the boast of every Mason that his society is one all the world over. And in France, in Italy, and elsewhere, it has allied itself with much that is detestable and irreligious. We may take it, then, that when in France a man of position puts himself in distinct antagonism to the Church, and this is, of course, very different to ignoring it, or taking it for granted without writing about it, he is appealed to, not as in England by Protestants, but by Freemasons, solidaires, even by Satanism. And the more he thinks of religion, the viler and more terrible is the temptation that assails him, is the home which offers itself to his spirit. This Monsieur Heismans has realized. He is a Frenchman who knows his people, and in the book now presented to the reader he shows us a man who, having passed through the most terrible ordeals of unbelief, has been suddenly converted to faith, but has not reformed his life. En route is the study of the struggles of such an one, while incidentally it contains also essays on church music, architecture, and other arts, on monasticism, on the lives of the saints, and on mysticism. Faith is assumed after a course of unbelief, and no explanation of the return to it is afforded. Many have taken in hand, particularly of late years, to give each an apologia pro vita sua. But it will be noticed that the exact process is as little explicable as the quickening of life in the womb. The soul awakes and says, I believe. It has come about by the sudden eruption of grace, and not by any statement of syllogisms, any admission of premises, any conscious drawing of conclusions. Remembering this, the Catholic has no right to be disappointed if he feels tongue-tied in the presence of those who do not see as he sees. He cannot argue, he cannot hope to do outwardly what God did in his own case secretly. He recognizes that in spiritual matters men are not...